So then Joseph, Theo, Conrad, of course, and Ashby. Probably doesn't mean anything to anybody that's learned. In fact, actually, for the most part, those who might be familiar with them don't even know by this name. They immigrated to Great Britain, Jesus' name, so through the Conrad. Maybe even for some, though, his name is still something that's unfamiliar. But Mr. Conrad was an early component of a modernist literary movement in British Lit. Various novels, such as Lord Jim or The Secret Agent, were some of his writings and his praise by many literary critics in his generation. His greatest work, though, called The Heart of Darkness. It's a tale that developed during his time as a maritime traveler who was working with trade routes in Africa. In fact, The Heart of Darkness is inspired by an actual event that took place in the latter part of the 19th and 20th century dealing with the Congo Free State. See, King Leopold II was King of Belgium, so the Congo Free State as a humanitarian movement to lift up the people of Central Africa, promote education and health care, and also, King Leopold's words, to share Christianity. However, unfortunately, that's not really what happened. What happened is the enslavement of millions of Congolese and Africans to work for King Leopold's rubber and ivory companies. All told, the genocide that actually, in fact, took place there may have killed at least 10 million Congolese people. Conrad, with his work and with this event, was inspired to write The Heart of Darkness because he had a question that was bugging him. It was gnawing him. See, he grew up in a time where he questions imperial motives of European powers like Great Britain and France and Belgium and Germany. But the thing that was gnawing at him is there really a difference between the supposed civilized man and the barbaric man, who both have corrupt hearts? The last line of the novel simply states the author was barred by a black bank of clouds and a tranquil waterway leading to the utmost part of the earth, floating somber under a overcast sky. And it seems weaving through the heart of immense darkness. Conrad just couldn't imagine, he couldn't figure out how man could be so dark. And so he wrote, trying to figure it out. But yet, if you go to scripture, is that not something that we see penned at times? Psalm the 51st chapter, verse 5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my sin my mother conceived me." We see Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperate to sin." Who can understand it? The writer of Ecclesiastes says in chapter 7, verse 20, "Indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins." We just saw that Sunday school class in Genesis, the 6th chapter, verse 5, "When the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually." Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome in chapter 3, verse 23, "For all sin fall short of the glory of God." And then Jesus stated in the gospel as recorded by Mark in the 7th chapter, verse 21, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, theft, murders, and adulteries." The heart seems to be so dark, so evil, and so wicked. And just like Conrad is contemplating, there's many of us in our own lives that wonder, how can we do something so sinful, so wicked, so corrupt? But we're here today because that's not the case. We're gathered here at this table because darkness hasn't overcome, but it's light that has overcome. See, we're here because of what Ephesians, the fifth chapter, says, starting with verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. See, Conrad couldn't get to that answer that he wanted, and the answer was basically wife man is way, but more importantly, the greater question is how can man change it? And unfortunately, man can't change it on his own. But Paul understood how man can change it. See, there's light that's available to man, but that light is in the Lord. That's why in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, he helps us to understand how we are in that light. He says in Ephesians 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for sweet smelling aroma. So we don't have to contemplate, as Conrad did, as the darkness of man, but now we can focus on the fact that we can be in the light. And that's truly why we're here gathered at this table. It's no longer ones that are covered in darkness, but ones who walk in light. And we walk in light because of being children and imitators of God. And how are we children and imitators of God? Well, simply because as verse 2 of Ephesians 5 says, we walk in love because Christ loves us and he gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God. Light brought us out of darkness, but the light that brought us out is the light of Christ as set forth by God. And so we no longer have to focus on that darkness, but we can focus on the fact that we are a part of the light. That's why Jesus says in Matthew, the fifth chapter, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. And it gets light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before everyone, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We partake of communion because we remember and we focus and contemplate the fact that there's no darkness in us anymore if we have Christ, but there's light. We can be in the light, as John stated in his first epistle, that we are found in the light of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your blessing. And Lord God, as we've seen here today with Sunday school and even this time with various humanist writers, Lord God, trying to understand how man can be evil and be so corrupt. But we know, Father God, that we're here gathered around this table because our focus doesn't have to be on evil and corruptness. Our focus can be on the fact that we are your children. We are in the light because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here celebrating, is the light that is within us and that we get to share that. We thank you and we praise you, Father God, that we can focus on that. We ask that our light will shine continually, that men will praise you and see your work, and that we can turn the darkness of this world to see a marvelous light. God, I'm so grateful this day. In the Spirit of Son's name, we offer this prayer to you.